Take your Bible, please. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We sure are missing all of you too as well. I appreciate the comments. I know I've received several texts already from people watching online who can't comment on the news feed. We love you and miss you. And the Lord is definitely going to lift this off us, and we're going to be back together again soon. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I've given you time to find it. Let me read out loud, and if you will, with me at home. Verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present, but some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, in the name of Christ, I thank you, O Lord, that you have not only raised your Son from the dead, but Father, he died in our place. I'm thankful, Father, that he has ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand interceding for us now. And I look forward to the day when your Son will return. Because of his resurrection, we know we will rise. And because we know he rose from the grave, his promise of coming and retrieving us is also true. And Father, we look forward to that day. Please come, Lord Jesus. We want to be with you. We want to see you face to face. In the next few moments as we look to your word, Father, I'm sure there'll be some that are watching, either live or on recording, that will be lost, that do not know you as their Savior. Maybe this video will be shared through a news feed or a messenger or some sort of an online portal. And Father, there'll be those that are searching today of all days for the truth of the resurrection. And Father, may they find it and be saved. And for us, your children, Father, let us set our sights upon your Son's return. Because he lives, we know we can face tomorrow, and we pray, Father, that you not only would meet the needs, but calm the hearts and the anxieties and the nervousness that this world brings us, for our hope is truly in Christ. Bless us today as we look to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the immediate context of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul was having to write this. Now, the whole book is a book of rebuke. You know that. We've talked about this. They weren't doing anything right. But one of the things that they had messed up was there were people in the church at Corinth who were preaching and teaching that there was resurrection from the dead, that Christ died and was buried, and that was the end of it. I mean, you see this in verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection from the dead? Well, the Jews had been teaching since Matthew 28 the lie, and still to this day they teach the lie that Jesus' body was stolen. In Matthew 28, verse 11, here's what happened. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch, that's the guards that were supposed to guard the tomb, came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Yeah, because those guys should have been put to death. That was the Roman rule. If you were guarding somebody and they escaped, or you were watching something and it was stolen, then your life was given as a price for that mistake. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. It is still one of the theories, because they don't want to admit that Christ has actually risen from the grave. And you've got to understand, the stone did not get rolled away so that Jesus could get out. It was rolled away so we could look in and see that the tomb was empty. His resurrection is the foundation of the gospel. It is the foundation of that which saves us. It is the foundation of the good news. Look again in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel That means good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received. Now he's reminding them, look, I preached this unto you. This is not new. I've told you about this when I was there. They had received it and they had stood on it. Do you see that? He said, I preached it unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you, by which also you were saved. You believed and you were born again, knowing that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. This is not new. What happened? Who you been listening to? Who is it that you're allowing to teach contrary to what I told you, which is the truth? Look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Hey, this wasn't my gospel. This was given to me by Christ himself. The source of the gospel was God. In Galatians chapter 1, which is just a few pages toward the back, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible reads, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting. The gospel is not just a New Testament idea. Psalm 22 talks about the resurrection of Christ. Isaiah 53 talks about how that he would die and would be and be rejected. This is not just a New Testament thing. So Paul proceeded to talk about the gospel, and he said, now listen, not only did he die and was buried, but he rose again. I preached it to you, you received it, and you were saved. This is what saves us. Look at verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians 15. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Simon Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at one time, at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Listen, you don't want to take my word for it? Then you need to talk to Peter. He saw him. And the apostles, not Judas Iscariot, he'd hung himself, but the other 11 and the women that were with him, they saw him. And then there was a time when Jesus was seen by over 500 people at once. If you don't, who you been listening to? And my daddy always told me, you tell me who your friends are, I'll tell you what you are. You are mostly influenced by what you listen to, what you see, and what you read. And these people had allowed folks in their church to influence them against the gospel, that the resurrection hadn't come to pass. So look here again in 1 Corinthians 15. And then in verse 7, after that he was seen of James, that's his brother, the writer of James, then all of the apostles, and last of all he's seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Interesting. Paul had seen him face to face on the road to Damascus, and he could testify as a firsthand reporter, oh, he's risen. Look at verse number 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. So you had Paul telling you, listen, I've seen him. You've had James, the brother of Jesus. I saw him. The 11 apostles, they saw him. The 500. See, the resurrection of Christ, this glorious day. A lot of times me and my, I'll refer to it as the Super Bowl of church Sundays. Why? Because it's great that Jesus came. It's wonderful. You know, I told you back at Christmas time that the greatest feat in humanity is not that man touched his foot on the moon, but that God touched his sole of his foot on the earth. It is wonderful that Christ came. But it's even more wonderful that he died in our place, was buried, and that he rose again, defeating death and hell. See, the resurrection of Christ is foundational for our salvation. I mean, it rises and falls on this. Look at verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection from the dead? Hey, Abraham died, and he's still buried. Buddha died, and he's still buried. Muhammad died, and he's still dead. Confucius died, and he's still dead. Your ancestors and my ancestors died, and they're still dead. Jesus is the only one who said he would rise from the grave and did. One of the craziest things, we're going to go to Israel in January, and I'm excited about this. I want to go there. I want to walk where Jesus walked. But you know, the empty tomb is the only tourist attraction in the world where people like me are going to stand in a line around the corner to see nothing at all. Do you ever think of that? Yeah, and they're going to, I don't know if they're going to charge admission, but somebody was a genius. You can look in and see nothing. Look at verse number 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. That means vain means empty, deceitful, void of reality. See, without Christ's resurrection, all preaching, the church in, as a total thing, is a colossal hoax. Our churches are a monument. This church would be a monument to a corpse if Jesus was still in the grave. See, if Christ be not risen, look at that next phrase. It says, your faith is also vain. That means empty. Faith's anchor chain has been broken. Faith's fire is out. Faith's courage is like cowardice. Faith's hope is a despair. It's a complete fraud if Christ be not risen from the grave. Look at verse 15. And if Christ be not risen, we are found false witnesses of God. Not mistaken witnesses, but false witnesses. That idea, I think when Paul got the news, there's people there teaching there that Jesus didn't rise from the grave. I think it kind of wounded him. I think it kind of stung him because, you know, everything he had been teaching and preaching was based on the fact that he met Jesus face to face. See, up until that moment on the road to Damascus, Paul had believed that the disciples had stolen him away and this was a false cult. This was a cult, a false doctrine. Then he meets Jesus. You know, it's kind of crazy. Can you imagine a courtroom scene where you're on trial for murdering somebody? Imagine. 500, and there's people saying, you did it. And in walks the supposed dead person. In walks the person that supposedly you killed. What do you think would happen? You'd be acquitted. All charges would be dropped. Why? Because the evidence to the contrary of your act stood right in front of him. And Paul said, I can't believe you're letting people say these things. I can't believe you would believe that. I saw him face to face. Well, he knocked me off my horse. He blinded me for 3 days. And then he ended up teaching me for 3 years in the deserts of Arabia. I know he lives. I have seen him. But look here in verse 16. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. What a terrible assumption. To think that we had freedom in Christ, but now we no longer have it. That we no longer have gladness or even the light of truth. Why? Because our sins are still there. If he'd have died, listen, if Jesus had come, born of a virgin, died, and stayed buried, then up to the time of Christ, then his blood maybe could have covered up to that moment. But what about everybody who's lived and died in the last 2,000 years? Because he rose again, his blood continues to save, not just past and present, but even into the future. His blood continues to save. Look at this verse number. It says, if Christ be not risen, then we're all in just a dream. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 103 that he has separated our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. When you take a globe, what's interesting, if you head east on the globe, you're always heading east, even if you end up back here. So you head east and you cross the Atlantic and you hit Europe and you cross through Asia and you come back across the Strait and you come across California, you're still heading east. East and west never meet. If I head west and I head across the great states of America and across the Pacific and across the Asia or the Pacific Ocean and through the Asian continent and on through Africa and back around again and hit New York and come back, it doesn't matter. I'm still heading west. Our sins have been separated. If Christ be not risen, then our sins are still with us, Paul is saying. You know, what's really great is that it says that God remembers our sin no more because he rose from the dead. All is a lie if Christ is not risen. The resurrection is the foundation of our salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that what? He came as a baby? No, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If Christ be not risen, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If Christ be not risen, then everybody who died believing Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago and rose again, they died in vain. They thought they would just sleep, but the truth is they're just nothing. But the Bible teaches that he died and was buried and rose again. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. Praise God for the resurrection. Praise God that he not only was born, lived, died, and was buried, but praise God he rose again. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What a thought. The Bible teaches that because Christ died and rose again, when you and I pass, if we die before Jesus comes back, which is something I'd rather not do, I'd just rather be here when Jesus comes, wouldn't you? But if I die, the Lord, when he comes back, I will rise from the dead. But while I'm waiting for his return, I will not be in this body. I will be with him. Because he rose, I know I'll be with him. To be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This is the best news mankind ever heard. The best news. I was watching Facebook the other day, just kind of flipping along in my news feed, and there was an actor on there who created a news feed called Good News. Just good news. Things that were nothing but good news. And I thought, man, that is fantastic. I'm glad to hear, instead of gloom and doom, I'm glad to hear somebody's doing something good and something's going good out there. But you know, the best news mankind ever got came from a graveyard. The best news we ever. He's risen. He's alive. God be praised. Look at verse number 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. It says, but now, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? I love this song. That's why I love it. It goes, up from the grave he arose. I can just see him coming out of that grave. He's not there. He just rose up. God, by his own power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God himself, he arose and walked out of there. Now, it says here in verse 20, and become the first fruits of them that slept. He would be the first one that would rise to die no more. Now, remember on the day Jesus was crucified, there was a huge earthquake and the graves opened and many of the saints, the Bible says, resurrected, came back to life, walked out of their own grave to testify that the man on the center cross was and truly God the Son. Remember when they had buried, they were burying a man and the Philistines invaded and they saw it and they dropped the body and it touched the bones of Elijah and that man woke up in his own grave. Lazarus died, 4 days dead, wrapped in linen and spices in his family tomb, and Jesus called him forth and he came back to life. But all of those people died again. All of them died again except Jesus. He was the first fruit. Now, if you don't know what the first fruit offering is, what that means is at the time of harvest, the priest would go out into the field and find a full shock of wheat. And he would take it and he would bring it back to the temple and he would wave it at heaven like this. It was a wave offering. It was the first fruit wave offering. Look, God, look what you've done. This came from you, God. This blessed fruit, this first and best fruit of ours, it's all you. Can you imagine Jesus getting up in the morning, getting up on that resurrection morning and waving at God in heaven and going, here I am, the first one that will rise to never die physically again. You know, our salvation is sure because Christ rose from the grave. His resurrection is not only the foundation of our salvation and the gospel, it's also necessary for our fruitfulness. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But the truth is, Paul, it's kind of rhetorical. Paul's saying in this life we do have hope, that we do have blessings. We do have things that God would bless us with. I mean, Psalm 116, verse 15, 2 Corinthians 5, 8 talks about it. And it's wonderful that we have hope in this life because Christ rose. We have His power. We have the Holy Spirit residing in us. And that's how we can face tomorrow. That's how we can face the challenges that we're in right now. It's because He rose from the grave. But we have more than that. We have the hope of when Christ returns, of the of tomorrow in heaven that never ends. Let's take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. Listen to what the Bible reads in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4. The Bible reads, wherefore, look at that, because Christ has risen. Look at this. My brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. It's because of his resurrection we can bear fruit for Christ. His resurrection was also necessary for ours, for our resurrection. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, now is Christ, in verse 20 says, and now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, the first ones. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. That's you and I. That's you and I. Either we'll be alive on this earth and be changed immediately, as we'll see in a second, or we will be in the grave and we will rise. He was first, then us at his coming. This is a guarantee that we will rise because he rose from the grave. To think that all the things we do to and all the time we spend at funerals and all the time we spend at gravesides, and we've seen those acres and acres of stones. Imagine that day. That's what it says. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Can you imagine? Whole cemeteries looking like plowed ground as the earth busts open as a display so that the lost world will see we're not there. Did Jesus have to roll the stone away to rise from the dead? Of course not. As we saw from that evening when he met with the apostles, he just appeared in a locked room. He walked out of that grave. He didn't have to have the stone moved. The stone was moved as a witness. That stone was the first witness of Christ's resurrection. The second, of course, would be the angels. If you've had time to read Matthew 28 and Mark 16, you'll find the angels actually were the second witness. Mary wasn't until the third. And on the day when Christ returns, our graves burst open, not because we can't get out, but because the lost world needs to look inside and see that we're no longer there. What a witness that'll be to this world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 14. The Bible reads, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, that's our loved ones that have already passed, our loved ones that have already gone, my parents, maybe your parents, siblings, will God bring with him? They're going to rise. When Christ returns, they're going to rise. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to go ahead of them. They're going to go with us. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And as we talked about in Sunday school today, if you miss Sunday school, you need to tune in. We talked about how we're to be watching. Listen for that shout. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a direct reference to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 23. Do you see that? His resurrection was necessary for ours, and ours will be just like his. When the lost world sees that open grave, if we die before he comes, what a witness it will be that we're not there. His resurrection was necessary for eternal life. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 21. For since by man came death, that's talking about Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That's the second Adam. For as in Adam, the first Adam, all die. That means every one of us are born in sin, all of us separated from God. Look at that now, that phrase. So even so in Christ. Are you in Christ? Look at that. In Christ shall all be made alive. Are you in Christ? I didn't ask if you were a member at a church somewhere. I was a member of the United Methodist Church in Granville, Illinois for many, many years, but I was as lost as a golf ball in tall grass. I didn't know Jesus. I knew about him, but I didn't know him. I wasn't in Christ. I thought maybe if I was loosely affiliated with him, somehow I could get extra credit, but that's not how it works. Are you in Christ? Look at that phrase again in verse 21. Or 22, for as in Adam, all die. And we are all in Adam, all of us. All of us were represented by Adam. We were all in the loins of Adam. When he sinned, we were plunged into sin. We were represented by him. But when we trust Christ as our Savior, when we call upon him, that's what repentance is. It's turning from our sin to God, calling upon him and asking him to save us because we believe he died for us on a cross of Calvary and rose again. When we call upon him, confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, do you understand? We become in Christ. So in Christ shall all be made alive. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 24 and verse number 25. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, that means the righteousness of Christ. Listen to me. Look at it. Look at verse 24 again. Romans 4, 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. When Jesus rose from the grave, he conquered death. Death thought death has never lost one, never lost one, never lost a human soul until Jesus. It also says in John 1 that in Christ was the light, and he was the light of men. Death could not snuff it out. Death had no hold upon him, and in him was life. You know, what's interesting about Christ is God didn't give him life. Life was already in him. He had life. He is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life. You know, his resurrection was necessary for us to have eternal life. So that at the moment we believe and we're saved, the next sin doesn't separate us. Because his resurrection proved that he conquered death, hell, the grave. He broke the power and the penalty of sin. That's what the resurrection means. It isn't just a story from history. And because of the resurrection, it is Christ's life that actually lives through us. I have been made alive with his life. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15 read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, that's talking about Christ, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. His resurrection is what gives us our eternal life. And it's really his life living through us. His resurrection is also our security. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 24, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. It is Christ that ruleth and reigneth. He proved that at the resurrection. In Romans 1, 4, he proved that he was actually the Son of God because he rose from the grave. Look what Romans 1, 4 says. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You know, we're secure in Christ because of who he is and because of his authority. Look at Romans 8 and verse 34. We are secure in Christ. His resurrection proved it. Romans chapter 8 and verse Number 34, the Bible reads, who is he that condemneth? Who would dare condemn you now that you know Christ as your Savior? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ secured our eternity because he rose from the grave. And because he rose from the dead, Hebrews 7 tells us he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them. That means you've not gone too far. Today, if you will not harden your heart to the message of the resurrection of Christ, today, if you will call upon him, you will be saved. Christian, you've not gone too far. Maybe you've strayed. Maybe you've broke your promises to the Lord. Maybe you had the best intentions, but you strayed. You've not gone too far. Come back. God ever liveth to make intercession for us. So I find it interesting in verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's like, who are you listening to? Who is it that's influencing you about the resurrection? The idea that it's not really important. It's just a fact of his life, like he fed the 5,000. No, it is the foundational truth of our faith. As I said, all the other religions are based on men who died, were buried, and stayed dead. All the other world religions. Abraham's dead, still dead. Moses is dead, still dead. Muhammad is dead, still dead. Zoroaster is dead. Confucius is dead, still dead. Buddha is still dead. When Christ rose from the grave, you understand it wasn't a reincarnation. It wasn't the soul of one person going into the soul of another person, which is totally false, by the way. It is not true. It's given unto man once to die and then the judgment. There is no second round. There is no second chance. Death closes the door to heaven. No, it was the same Jesus who went into that grave was the same Jesus who rose from that grave. He said, I had the power to lay my life down. I have the power to take it up again. He is the Son of God. So who have you been listening to? Now, it's interesting. When you think about our resurrection, when you think about what will it be like, because the Bible says we're going to be like him. When we rise from the grave, we're going to be like him. Well, what was Christ like? It says this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Now, that's all the way in the back of the book. Look at this. Have you ever thought about this? What are we going to be like when we rise from the grave? Look at 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It hasn't happened yet, so I can't definitively explain it. But we know that when he, that's Christ, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now think about that expectation. If we die before Christ comes and our grave bursts open and we come forth, what will it be like? What will our bodies be like? What will we look like? What will we see? What will we hear? What will others see, and what will others hear? You see, the resurrection of Christ is the basis for our resurrection. And his change, what he was like, is what we'll be like. Think about that. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. He says, now, this I say, brethren, look at verse 50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. The body you and I live in right now is not suitable for eternity in heaven. It's not suitable. It's fleshly, it's sinful, and it cannot be in the presence of God because it'll be destroyed, because no sin can be in God's presence without being consumed. So this body has to be changed. Whatever is about to go in the ground is not going to be what comes up. Something different is going to come up. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, look here back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse number 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest, that's like we planted some seedlings. We're going to have a little garden in our house. We've got some tomatoes and some jalapenos and some green peppers and maybe some other types of plants. But you take that seed and you put it in the ground, okay? And that seed basically doesn't stay there. It dies. It germinates and breaks apart. And look what it says here. That which thou sowest, that thing that gets put in the ground, my dead body, when it goes in the ground, thou sowest not that body which shall be. Think about it. You put a kernel of corn in the ground. It isn't a kernel of corn that comes back up. Look what it says. It says, but bare grain. You put the little seed in the ground. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now, all flesh is not the same flesh, he talks about. The body's terrestrial and celestial, verse 40. There's a glory of the sun and a glory of the moon. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Look at verse 42. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. I don't know what it's going to be like, but the differences will be beyond comparison. For instance, you put a little kernel of corn in the ground. Once it germinates, what comes up is so much, that stalk with those big leaves and tassel and sometimes two, maybe three ears of corn having 200 kernels apiece on them, massive ears, is so much grander and more glorious than what you put in the ground. This is what Paul is saying. Because Christ rose from the grave, when we rise from the grave, what got put in the ground will be weak and corrupted. What we put in the ground, this body, when it dies, will be put in the ground and it will fall apart. It'll go back to dust if the Lord tarries. But what went in the ground will be so much smaller and more paltry and insignificant compared to the grand, glorious body that will rise from the grave. So I don't know what we'll look like. Will we all be 6'4" and, you know, good? No, I don't know. I imagine it'll be something beyond my comprehension. See, because Christ rose from the grave, this is the promise you have. You know, I know we like this body. I know that we really like this one to last. We try to take care of it. We try to eat right. We try to work out. We try to avoid smacking our thumb with a hammer. It's interesting what pain does. When you stub your toe, your entire body mourns, right? And when you run your hands through the saw, and it, like I did here, I got a really neat little set of scars that line up perfectly, and where I grabbed that board and stuck it in a saw, and we worry about this body, and we try to take care of this body. But do you understand the one you're going to get? It's so much grander and so much more glorious and so much more awesome than what you got right now. You know, maybe we wouldn't be so tied to this earth and this world if we knew what was coming. So you drop back down here to verse number 51. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That means when Jesus comes back, there's folks who are going to be alive. And I believe Jesus will come right now. And I'm ready. I'm ready for Jesus to come now. But regardless of whether we're alive or whether we're in the grave, look at that last phrase, we shall all be changed. Why? Because this body's not suitable for eternity. Look at verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it will take less time than a blink. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this body I live in that gets sick, gets old, has wrinkles, hair turns gray and what don't turn gray falls out. I got, you know, the body that hurts trying to get up and down off the floor and up and down off your knees to do projects. This body, look at it, shall be raised incorruptible. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, this body that dies, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, when this which falls apart becomes something that never will, when this which dies is changed into something that will never die, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. His resurrection was the first fruit. His resurrection
was the guarantee of ours. His resurrection and his resurrection body is what was the first one that's going to be like it. Now, we're not going to be God. That's a whole different religion. But we're going to be like him. We'll have a body that is suited for eternity in a sinless realm in the presence of the sinless one. We'll have a body that is suited for eternity. We will be like Jesus. So just as he rose from the grave and all the prophecies that talked about his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection came through with 100% accuracy, we can also believe with just as much hope of his return. See, he has to return. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Christ has to return. See, the resurrection of Christ not only is a backward look to his defeat of death, hell, and the grave. We know today's Resurrection Sunday, of course, we look back at it. But it's also the fact that we can live that new life now. But it's also a future look to when he returns. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 36. For we have need of patience that after ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, his soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He that will come shall come. Christ has to come back. He has to come back to fulfill the prophecies of his return. And the Old Testament is full of those prophecies, but so is the New. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 17 and 18, listen to what the Bible says. It says in Matthew 5, 17 and 18, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He has to come back. He has to fulfill the prophecies of Scripture. He has to finish the work. Remember what it said in Philippians, being confident of this very thing, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it on the day of Jesus Christ. He has to come back and fulfill that work. In John 6, in John 14, he said he would come back and retrieve us. He's not going to leave us here. He has to come back. And Christ must free us from the sting of death. He must also foil the plan of Satan. Satan's plans are going to be ruined, and he will bruise Satan's head. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He must return and reveal his glory to the world. So let me ask you a question. When you think of Easter Sunday, when you think of Resurrection Sunday, do you allow your mind to go back to that day when the grave was opened as a witness? Does your mind go to today, where those who don't know or don't believe can be witnessed to? Because there's coming a day in the future when our open grave will be a witness to all those who see that Christ is God. At this moment, we're going to take some time and have a time of invitation. It's a time of appeal. I'm going to pray for you. And right now, if you're watching and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your trust and hope is in a church membership somewhere, an infant baptism, a catechism or a communion or some experience you had. I'm going to beg you to realize that you're a sinner just like me and that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior just like I do. And I'm going to ask you to pray and call upon him. Because he rose from the grave, you too can rise. First to new life in Christ, and to eternal life in glory when he comes. Christian, his open grave was a witness. One day, our open grave will be a witness. But right now, we can be that witness. As we are dead to self and alive to Christ, we can be the witness of the resurrection. It's the central point of our salvation, our eternal security, and our future glory. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we love you. We ask wholeheartedly, Father, for the one that's watching right now that does not know heaven's their home. Father, if they die, they're not sure heaven's going to be their home. They're not sure of anything. Father, I pray in their heart right now you would draw them and that they would pray and say, Lord Jesus, I believe. Forgive me of my sin and cleanse me. I believe you died for me and rose again. I believe. And for us, your children, Father, as we look around us at the despair, the discouragement, the worry, the fear, the stress of the people around us who don't have this truth. Father, let us be a witness. Let our life today be a witness of the resurrection, not just on this Sunday, but every day, because the grave's still empty. We look forward to your coming when our grave will be that witness to the lost world. We ask, Father, that you do a work in us today that only you can be credited for. In Jesus' name, amen. Take time and pray with you as a family, as individuals, as Mrs. Mix plays and sings.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Brothers and sisters, you do not have to wait to be a witness of the resurrection. Don't wait until your empty grave is that witness. Tell people now. Our Father and our God, we love you. And we truly praise your name. For you're the one who raised him from the dead and will raise us up with him. And Father, today we want to be that witness. We want to be that encouragement to those around us. We want to be the one that lifts others up. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to remember once again the resurrection. We ask, God, that you'd bless everyone watching and everyone that will watch this service. And Father, that you will continue to work in and through us in our daily lives to be that witness. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for watching with us.